Today's scripture reading is from Galatians. Brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting, but to himself alone, not to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. The word of the Lord.
Pray together. God, thank you for this chance to be here worshiping you today. Thanks for the words of the songs that let us express our hearts to you. And Lord, now we know that we need your help to come be our teacher. Open our eyes, our hearts, our ears to what you want to say to us today. We believe you want to speak to us, but we need your help to hear. So please help us with that. Lord, I pray for my words that they will glorify you and encourage the people that are here in this room today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm Jay Fowler. I am an Anglican priest, but my full-time job is working with a ministry called PastorServe, and we do like coaching and consulting and crisis intervention with pastors like all over the country. I'm the executive director of the Midwest region. I have a wonderful multi-ethnic, racial team that I get to work with, and so we do like all over the Midwest. So that's what I do full time. But this is my church home. Janine and I go to church here. We really love this church. We love Dean and Jenny, and we love Dean's leadership, and we really love you all. I mean, we just really have a fond affection for Christ Church mission. And while I'm thinking about Dean, hey, this month is Pastor Appreciation Month. So some of you might know that. Some of you may not. But it's a great time to just show Dean and Jenny and other leaders that you know that are pastors to just let them know that you care about them. Get them like a gift card or something, or send them a note about how God's used them in your life. Do something. So Dean did ask me, how much do I get for making that announcement? Anyways, but seriously, it's a great time to just let your pastor know how much you care about them. Okay, so we're going to be talking today another sermon in the One Another series we're doing. So we've done a few of these now. There are a lot of them in the Bible. We've done Praying for One Another last week. We did Encourage One Another a couple weeks ago. We did Show Hospitality to One Another. So we've been doing this series. Today, the topic is Bear One Another's Burdens. So like we have been doing each week, I'd like you to turn to somebody next to you and say, Bear One Another's Burdens. So just do that for a second. All right, now I know that that's a burden for some of you to have to do that every week, so you've already done some of what we're talking about this morning by bearing each other's burdens. So the word burden in the Bible, there are two or three Greek words that are translated burden, and there's a Hebrew word or two, but they all mean sort of the same thing, which is a load that's very heavy. In fact, it's so heavy it's really hard to bear it up. You can barely keep it up, okay? So that's when we talk about bearing each other's burdens, the burden is something very, very heavy. So I was thinking about myself, my own life, like, well, when's a time that I really needed help, like, carrying something physical? And that's happened a lot of times. I'm not a terribly strong guy. But the one that came to my mind was several years ago, we had this plum tree in our backyard, and it was kind of this gnarly tree. And it had grown up, and there was a branch that was hanging over our power line. We live in a neighborhood that the power lines are still, you know, up in the air, not under the ground. So I was thinking, you know, this winter, if we have a bad, like, snowstorm or an ice storm, that branch is going to probably, like, fall on our power line, then we won't have electricity. So I thought, well, I'll just try to cut it down. I'll try to do it carefully. And so I got one of these long, like, pole saws, you know, that has, like, an extender thing, and then there's like a saw on the end of it. So I'm out in the backyard by myself, and I think I have it the right place to cut this thing so there'll be no trouble. So I'm sawing on it, and then all of a sudden, it comes loose, I get through it, and it falls right on the power line, of course, right? So then the fat part of the branch kind of came down toward me, and it's sort of like vertical, but up, way up high, about where those things are at least, the branch was stuck, somehow there was about this long part of the branch that was hanging over the power line. So, you know what? I'm not a terribly tall guy, and as I said, I'm not a terribly strong guy, but this thing weighed a ton. Branches weigh a lot more when they're down in front of you than they seem to weigh when they're way up there. So anyway, so I've got this really heavy branch. I've got it on the power line. I'm thinking, if I let go of this, the power line's coming down. The very thing I didn't want to happen. So I'm trying to push it up, and every time I push it up, the power line kind of goes up with it, So I can't get it over this little part, and it's getting heavier and heavier, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I can keep pushing this thing up. I'm definitely having trouble getting it over. So I don't know where Janine was. Our kids were little back when this happened. And so I started yelling, and no response. So finally, I start to get desperate, and I just start yelling, help. I start going, help, help. I'm in the backyard of this giant branch going, help, help me. Hey, somebody give me a hand. And all of a sudden, this guy, from two or three houses over, hears me and comes and runs, jumps over a few fences, comes over, grabs the branch with me, and together we're able to push it over the power line and get it to the ground. Well, anyways, life feels like that sometimes. Sometimes we feel like we have something that is so heavy that we're carrying in life that we just don't know if we can bear it up any longer. That might be in our spiritual life. That might be in our kind of our emotional life. It might just be in our practical, everyday, physical life. But we have times in our lives where we have burdens that are just super heavy, and we just don't know if we can keep carrying them. So the good news is we have a God who wants to carry our burdens. He's interested in that. In Psalm 68, verse 19, it says, "Praise to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." God wants to bear our burdens with us. He wants to help us when we have a heavy load. And so, one of the cool things about Christianity is, when we think about, we have a God who bears our burdens, we don't have to wonder if that's true. And, if there was just, sort of a vague God out there, you might wonder, I hope he wants to bear my burdens, but does he actually want to bear my burdens? I wish he would, but does he actually want to? But as Christians, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we believe that God showed up in Christ. And so we can see what Jesus does, and we can hear what Jesus says, and we can get a very accurate picture of what God intends and what God wants, right? So when God showed up in Jesus Christ, he said these amazing words in Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The God of the universe, when he showed up, articulated for himself his desire to bear our burdens. Jesus is saying, look, if you're heavy laden, if you're a burden, if there's something you're carrying that's so heavy, please come to me and I'll help. I'll give you rest. Not only did Jesus say he wants to bear our burdens and that we can come to him, he actually took our burdens on himself on the cross. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, all the sins that any person has ever committed and ever will commit, all those sins and the punishment and the judgment and the burden of guilt, the burden of pain and guilt were all placed on Jesus, on his body when he hung on that cross somehow. So not only did he say, I want to bear your burdens, he actually bore our burdens on the cross. And Peter says that in his first letter. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you are healed." So not only did he say, yeah, come to me with your burdens, he actually did it. He actually did it for all time, took the burden of guilt, the weight of sin on himself on the cross, so that that can be lifted off of us. So when that guy showed up, after I'd been hanging on to this branch, And he helped me lift it off that power line. It felt great. It just felt great to have somebody help me, to take the burden with me, right? And you know, I think that God wants us to put our burdens upon him. In Psalm 55, it says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. So, we have a God who wants us to cast our burdens on him. He said it himself when he came in Christ. He demonstrated it in his body, and he offers to take our burdens upon himself. But it doesn't end there. He wants us to learn how to bear each other's burdens. Because part of the Christian life, the great part of it is we give these burdens to God and he takes them. That is awesome. But another part of the Christian life is that we become more and more like Jesus, the burden bearer. And so part of what he wants for us in this room is to learn how to bear each other's burdens. And I think there are three kind of general areas we can do that. One is spiritually. Second is emotionally. And third is sort of practically, physically. And it's really cool because we can see examples of this kind of burden bearing in Jesus' life that we can kind of learn from. So the first one, spiritually. It's normal in our spiritual life to have struggles, to have challenges at some point. It might be an unanswered prayer. Last week we had a great message from Dean about praying for one another. But there are times when prayers go unanswered, and that can be really challenging for us spiritually. It could be doubt, whether God's there, whether God cares. It can be just sort of general despair. It can be feeling separated from God, and that's a burden to you. It can be temptation that just seems like it's pulling you, and you don't want to go, but you also kind of do. You know that's wrong. It can be actually sinning and the kind of the consequences of sin and that heavy, kind of that heavy burden that sin puts on us. It can be any of those things. So we have times in our lives spiritually where we're carrying kind of burdens. In Jesus' darkest hour, just a few, probably literally a few hours before he's arrested and then taken and, beaten and tortured and then crucified, he's talking with he has the disciples, they're gathered together, and he says to Simon Peter in Luke chapter 22, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. So Jesus is saying, look, I know you're about to have an enormous spiritual test, Peter, but I've prayed for you. So one of the ways we can carry each other's burdens spiritually is to pray for each other. If you know somebody that's struggling with doubt or despair or temptation or sin, pray for them. It matters to pray for them. That's what Jesus did for Peter. It's interesting. He didn't say, hey, Peter, I've got a ship to Hawaii. You can jump on it and get out of this whole problem. He said what he offers is prayer for Peter to help him through this spiritual burden. So when you look at Galatians 6, that's the passage that we get this bear one another's burdens. You can flip it on the back of your bulletin if you want. The context of bearing each other's burdens for Paul actually is about spiritual problems. It's about temptation and sin. So Galatians 6, chapter 1 says, brethren, if any of you is caught in any trespass or sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. So see, that phrase is in the context of somebody restoring somebody who's had a spiritual problem. At Pastor Serve, one of the things we do is crisis ministry, where sometimes crisis involves a moral failing by a pastor. So when that happens, we come alongside that pastor and try to help them restore their relationship with Jesus Christ. Because, man, when a pastor has a moral failing, pretty much the whole world turns against them. There is no safe place for a pastor to go. And we try to be that safe place, Pastor Serve. We try to come alongside and say, you know what? You are still loved by God. What you did was terrible. It affected people and hurt people. But God still loves you. And the grace and the gospel that you've preached to others for many years, that's still true for you. So we put together this thing we call a restoration plan. The restoration plan involves Bible study. It involves an accountability group. It involves Pastor Serve staff being involved. But it always, always involves a ton of prayer. Because prayer is one of the ways we bear each other's burdens spiritually. And prayer makes a huge difference. So, if you know someone that's struggling spiritually, offer your prayers for them. Let them know you're praying for them. Okay, a second area that we can bear one another's burdens is in the area of like just sort of emotions, strong emotions that are kind of weighing us down. That could be anxiety or fear. It could be depression. There are lots of articles out right now about how the pandemic has caused an explosion in depression and anxiety, and that a lot of people thought it would kind of be over as things started to loosen up, but it actually seems to be getting worse. So, you know, it's in this room, somebody's probably dealing with anxiety or depression, and that's just what's going on. So how do we bear each other's burdens emotionally? What can we do? I think one of the things we can do is we can enter into that pain with another person. Whatever that pain is, if it's anxiety or fear, depression or guilt or sadness or grief, if we can enter into that and care for that person in their pain, there's great power in that. And again, we see Jesus do that in John chapter 11. One of his best friends, Lazarus, has gotten sick and then died. Jesus goes to the scene where he is buried. He sees his, Lazarus' sister, Martha and Mary. And the whole scene becomes kind of very, you know, grief-laden. And here's what the text says. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have they laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. There's something very powerful about just entering into somebody's pain with them, not trying to judge it or fix it, but just acknowledging it and sort of being with them in it. Paul says that we should weep with those who weep. And we should rejoice with those who rejoice. The power of empathy to heal, and I think God uses that when we truly care and empathize with somebody else's hard feelings. It's amazing what God does. For many years, I was under a bishop. His name was Jeffrey Rubusisi. He was a bishop in Changugu, Rwanda. And for about 10 years, he was my bishop. And that's who was sort of over me in the Lord as an Anglican. And Jeffrey became the bishop of Changugu just like I think a year and a half or 2 years after the horrible, horrible genocide that happened. And Changugu was on the border of Congo, and so the bad guys who had caused the genocide had fled to the Congo, and they would come over at night and still kill people for a couple of years after the official genocide was over. So when Jeffrey arrived there, there were so many women who had lost their husbands or fathers or sons in the genocide that they were coming to Jeffrey and really overwhelming him with just needs. They were coming and crying and telling their stories. And he said to his wife, Mary, who was also Rwandan, he said, Mary, all these women are coming to me and telling me their stories because they were just horrific stories, you guys. The genocide, they killed about 1 million people in a month. And most of the people were killed with machetes. So they're just brutal, horrible, horrible deaths. So Jeffrey says to Mary, all these women are coming to me. Can you please minister to the women who are, so I can, you know, so I can bear up? And she said, how can I minister to them? Half of my family was killed in the genocide. So Jeffrey said something really simple and really wise. He said, Mary, gather the women together and cry with them. Gather the women together and cry with them. So that's what she did. They gathered together and they went around. They told their stories of trauma and loss. And they cried with each other and they prayed for each other. And they did that till everybody had told their story. And in that environment, God showed up and healing happened. And I got to meet some of those women probably 10 or so years later after the fact. And there was just a joy in them. I would have never known the trauma that they had been through because of the joy I saw them in them. Now, that's not to say that the trauma still didn't have effect. Of course it does. But what it is to say is that there's a power in bearing each other's burdens emotionally by caring for each other that does lead to healing and some joy. So lastly, an area that we can bear each other's burdens is physically, kind of practically, just the basic stuff of life. We see that when Jesus is preaching all day, and at the end of the day, they've run out of food, basically. Everybody's hungry. They only have five loaves and two fish. Five loaves and two fish, and they bring those to Jesus. And so in Mark chapter 6, here's what it says. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. So everybody's fed by this miraculous thing. But the thing that's cool about here is Jesus cared. He could have said physical things don't matter. All that matters are the things of the Spirit. But clearly, over and over in his ministry, I could have given lots of examples of how Jesus bore the practical burdens of people. Here is one where he feeds 5,000 people who are very, very hungry at the end of the day of his teaching. He definitely cares about our physical, practical needs. In the summer of 2020, my wife Janine fell and broke her foot really badly. 2 days later, she was on crutches. The crutches slipped and she broke her wrist really badly. So after a couple of major surgeries, she was laid up for really a couple of months. She had to keep her toes above her nose. And it was a huge, just like practical physical burden, especially for Janine, to a lesser degree for me. At this, right when she was starting to get just a little bit better, I had two retinal detachments in my left eye and was blind in my left eye. And in that time, this church did such a great job of bearing our burdens with us practically. People brought us meals. People gave us gift cards. People really came around us and just loved us and helped us very practically in a time that was just incredibly hard for us. And so, you know, God wants us to bear each other's burdens practically. Just finding some way you can share something with somebody who's in need physically, practically. So I want to just kind of wrap up in conclusion saying, look, we're going to have problems and challenges in life. We're going to have burdens that we bear. And God invites us first to cast those upon him. And you know what? I encourage you today, if you're here with a spiritual burden, if you're here with an emotional burden, if you're here with some sort of practical thing that's just driving you crazy, please cast that upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's inviting you to do that right now. Do that today. Do that in the prayer time. Do that during communion, but sometime cast your burden on the Lord. Secondly, look around you this week for people that God is going to bring into your life that have burdens that he wants you to help bear with them. Those might be spiritual burdens. Those might be emotional burdens. Those might be physical burdens. If it's a spiritual burden, offer prayer. If it's an emotional burden, offer your care for them and their pain. If it's a practical, physical burden, share whatever you do have with them to make their burden lighter. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for time in your word, and thanks for your exhortation to us to bear each other's burdens. And Lord, we pray that you help us, empower us to notice burdens and to know how to come alongside and help. And Lord, I pray today for anybody that's particularly burdened, that they would cast that burden, Lord, on you, and that they would feel a sense of your presence, your power, and just a sense of relief to know that you're in it with them. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.